birthday cake to share and help us celebrate. Bike to the party as part of our Pedalpalooza bike ride. The ride begins at 1 p.m. at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8. Come ride your bike from our building to former locations of the radio station and end at the celebratory 50th anniversary of the very day we first switched on our transmitter and began broadcasting to and with the communities of Portland. Again, that's our 50th birthday party on Sunday, June 3rd at 2 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society, 1200 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on the party and our history can be found at 50yearsofkboo.fm.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
KBOO Community Radio is looking for a 2018 artist in residence. The KBOO Community Radio Artists in Residence program assists artists working creatively with sound and awards 20 hours of studio recording and production time with a KBOO mixologist in order to create a piece of sound art that will be publicly presented at the end of the residency. Deadline for application is June 1st at 5 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm/AIR2018.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning into KBOO Community Radio this morning. I'm Linda Olson Osterlin, your host for the next hour. This is Positively Revolting Talk Radio. I am a guest host. I'm very happy to be a guest host for Ani and Lynn. Ani will be back not next week. I'll be here again next week, but the week following that. And it's always my pleasure to get to do a talk show because I get to hear from you guys. So this is a call-in show. I'm going to give you the number right now, and probably we won't open the phones for about five minutes or so I can lay out what the program is about. But the number is 503-753-8806. And the topic is the latest Trump attacks on women's health, is specifically the move to insert a gag rule into family planning dollars that go out across the nation. The gag rule intended to make it so that people cannot hear about the fact that abortions even exist in a clinic that's getting federal funding, that they will not be allowed to be referred. It's a little different than an older one. It doesn't specifically say they cannot mention that abortion is something that's out there and legal, but they can't say we recommend it or go in depth about talking about it or refer them to anywhere to get that service or provide that service themselves. So it's a pretty bad thing, and it's a pretty scary thing. I want to let all of the women and men out there who hear this weigh in on it. It's wildly unpopular, according to polls. I'll get into that later. By over two-thirds, the American public does not want to cut Planned Parenthood and does not want to cut back on reproductive health care. That does not matter to those that rule our nation right now. I think you know very well. We've all learned that over the last decades, I should say, often what the public wants is not what's going to happen. And so he's announced this. Planned Parenthood has, of course, responded immediately. So let me get into a little bit of the specifics of what this announcement would mean. Right now, Planned Parenthood provides 40% of the services that are given through this. Let me get you the exact name of the law. It's Title X. And it's part of the Federal Public Health Service Act. It's been in place since 1970, and 3 years even before Roe v. Wade. And it is intended to make sure that American citizens can have access to wellness exams and comprehensive contraceptive services, as well as screenings for cancer and sexually transmitted diseases for both men and women. In 2016, which was the most recent year they had statistics on this, it showed Title X served over 4 million patients at just under 4,000 sites. And in those sites, Planned Parenthood only has 13% of those sites, but they serve 41% of the people who are served under this bill. So it gives you an idea of how, one, effective and efficient they are. They certainly provide more service in fewer facilities, and are very popular for that. So they account for 13% of all Title X sites, but serve an estimated 41% of its patients. Only about half of Planned Parenthood affiliates perform abortions, although the organization in its entirety is the nation's leading abortion provider. So this is an attack not just on attempting to eliminate a legal service, a legal health service that we as women want to access and men who support us want us to be able to access and is still legal, is legal for us to access, but they want to forbid where federal funding goes the ability to talk about it, the ability to offer the service themselves or to counsel people around it and release refer them on to where they can get it. I don't know if some of you out there are probably watchers of A Handmaid's Tale that's on. It's a Hulu production, and it was originally a book by Margaret Atwood, a dystopic view at the future, a future with a country named Gilead, what's supposed to be left of the United States after a catastrophic fertility drop of 61%, something like that, among people around the world, and the very apparent fear that there would not be children anymore and that the human race would die out. And in that, it's a completely totalitarian state. And if you watch the show, there's many things to say wrong with it, and you know, people can criticize it, and that's okay, and that's not the main point of what I'm talking about, is talk about Handmaid's Tale. But what you do see over and over again is people forced to not say what they believe or not speak even their own names, and to be forced to say what they don't believe, forced to say, yes, I agree with you, yes, I'll go along with that. The force is backed up with violence in this show. You know, if people don't do what they're supposed to, violence ensues. And so I bring it up because this reminds me, this gag rule, this you can't say. You can know as a medical provider that there are abortion services in your area and that from what this patient has told you, they would be interested in knowing about those services and being able to at least explore accessing them, and you can't do it. It's like your tongue is cut off. You have to pretend. And for most gynecologists and OBGYNs that I have met who do perform abortions, the majority of them also perform and perform far more births and all of the other kinds of reproductive care that women get. And so they are people who care very deeply about their patients and their patients' rights. This is like it's a direct assault on all medical providers, saying we now, the government, will tell you what you can say to your patients, whether it's true or not. It doesn't matter. And I think that should scare everybody. I know that during the Reagan era, they attempted to institute this, and I actually thought they had for a while. I guess the hidden secret is they didn't get to go forward with it in the United States for more than just a few months, but they did go forward with it internationally. And if there's anyone out there who knows a little bit more about the international system where we provide family planning services and how that gag order is imposed over there. I did reach out to Planned Parenthood locally. They're right in the midst of having a great big event to welcome their new executive director who will be coming on board. And they weren't able to come on now, but probably will be coming on with Ani or a different show in the middle of June sometime, because they really want to talk about this with us. I also reached out to Boys and Girls Aid Society of Oregon. I believe it's now just called Boys and Girls Aid. I worked there for 10 years, and it's a large, more than 150-year-old organization here in Portland, Oregon. And one of the services it's provided in its earliest stages is adoption. But what goes along with adoption is pregnancy counseling, because it's young people who are pregnant coming to you to try to make a decision about what to do. So Boys and Girls Aid has an all options counseling program, and they felt very strongly that all options that are legally available to women should be able that all legal forms of reproductive health care and forms of treatment for someone pregnant should be explained to someone. And this gag rule was putting everyone in a really bad bind, because how were they going to go forward with an all options program if they still were receiving federal funding? I don't believe, as I said, different legal issues got taken up in that gag law where in place was only in place for a couple months. But it certainly revealed in the halls of Boys and Girls Aid, one, how much our providers do care about their clients and their patients, and two, what a huge controversy this would be for them to have to stop telling the truth, stop being able to say what services are actually available for people. So I want to have you guys weigh in on this. I'd very much like to hear from you, the listener. I know this is just the beginning of the Memorial Day weekend, and some of you may be preparing to leave town. I'm one of those who loves to stay in town because town gets so quiet and empty. Oh, a Sunday morning on a holiday when everybody's out of town is really something special in Portland. But that being said, I want to wake you all up, give you a little bit more time. You're not out the door yet. Please take a moment and call us here at KBOO and weigh in on this gag order issue. Weigh in on reproductive health care being available to women and the state we're in the nation. The number to call is 503-231-8187. Let me give it to you again, just in case you're a little sloggy. I'm still a little sloggy, even with coffee in me. It's 503-231-8187. So we'd really like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from women and men. I'd like to hear from anybody who's a professional in the field of healthcare, what this makes them concerned about, or does it not at all? We did here in Oregon pass a women's health initiative, and I will talk about that a little bit later, but I want to hear from you right now. I think it's really important that you get to weigh in on these issues. I'm hoping you're not just worn out, tired of these assaults on women, and it's beginning to just be normalized. I also have a list here of other actions that have been taken in states, both pro-women's reproductive rights and anti-women's reproductive rights. And so we can go over some of those as well. I believe we do have someone on hold. It's Lou. Welcome to KBOO, Lou.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a cold, so you should tell me if you can't hear my voice very well.
I can hear you. I just put out a throat lozenge. I'd offer it to you, but we don't have any way of sending that to you now.
I'm not sure if it was a cold or a very long organizing meeting a week ago. For the gag rule, I think it's really great that you're doing this particular program. In terms of Portland resistance and national resistance, there was to Trump's policies and practices, there was, as we know, the huge women's march over a year ago. And in the primary elections now, it seems like women candidates are doing really well. I'm curious if you think that there's, and you might already mention this, a specific strategy to overturn the gag rule in connection with the November general election.
You know, I don't know that yet. Like I said, I didn't get to hear all of what Planned Parenthood had to say. I do know also NARAL and other organizations. I believe I have stuff here from several different women's organizations, one for women's health care, Partnership for Women and Families Health. They're all opposed to it, and they all came out with statements revealing it and expressing what the problems could be, but they didn't say what the strategy would be to defeat it. I'm not certain, but probably some of the legal strategies that were used on the Reagan era one and managed to get rid of it could do. Now, it didn't get really gone until Clinton came in and was able to use his executive powers to have it taken off, the gag rule taken off here in the United States. I know what you're talking about in terms of, I did come across in my research some statistics about people in the streets about reproductive rights and about women's health issues, women and family issues. And apparently 20% of Americans have been in the streets in the last many months since Trump came into the office on behalf of women's health and on behalf of you know, the Me Too movement as well, but also children and reproductive rights. And so I think it is very significant. There's a lot of people willing to, in huge, huge numbers, express their feelings about how core these issues are. Do you have strategy thoughts?
Well, with other resistance movements, you mentioned, I think, Me Too. It looks like Weinstein finally this morning. I reported in for a criminal accountability. So some people think that's a victory, that he's basically way, way powerful. And short of Trump himself, Weinstein seems to epitomize the problem globally that Me Too has pointed out. So if there are ways to identify the main or two or three main people that push the gag rule, like, for example, with gun control, the Parkland students and students globally, very similar to the women's marches around the world, have been really, really effective at targeting NRA. And, of course, those of us who are on the left know about NRA in the past. But do you know of a specific organization or persons that have been pushing the gag rule that would be a target for strategy?
Well, that's interesting. I do think there are some of them. There was one women's organization named in one account who came out right ahead, right immediately afterwards, applauding it. They're an extreme right wing. And I'm sorry, with papers in front of me here, I'm not able to find the name of that organization. But I get your point, is why not go back at them? I know that what Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards, who was head of Planned Parenthood, was on Democracy Now! Last week, I believe. And she talked about, you know, there was that attack where they did they phoned up these videos to try to pretend that Planned Parenthood was selling the results of an abortion to make profit. And, you know, in the end, that got proven to be false, of course, and it got proven that it was illegally done. I think that the perpetrators of the scam were indicted on 15 counts of illegal actions. And so the popularity of Planned Parenthood apparently really went through the roof because of these attacks. And it's also, it says, she said, I'm quoting Cecile Richards here, we are now actually more than twice the size of the National Rifle Association, and that's important to me. So that's really significant that they are that big. And so I think the way that people have been showing their support and fighting these issues has been, to some degree, in the streets and through the networks of the reproductive care agencies and organizations that advocate for women. But I hear what you're saying about a strategy of going after particulars to see what we can do to take them down. Let's let other people come in and weigh in on this, and we'll talk about that as we go on.
Sure. I was just going to suggest that for locally, what seems like a really good target, I believe, if that's needed, would be the current Catholic Archbishop Alex Zample, who specifically, when he was at Notre Dame, the school, before coming to Oregon, specifically organized the protest against Obama, the last president, talking at Notre Dame, because Obama supported the right of women health care workers who were Catholic to have reproductive health care as part of health care. Thanks. Bye.
So he's an activist bishop. What was his name again? Oh, I'm sorry, Lou, we dropped you. I didn't get his name, but it's a Catholic archbishop here. People can look that up. He is apparently an activist against women's reproductive rights. Let's go ahead to the next caller. I have more information to give you, but let's go ahead and talk to Ann.
Hello.
Hi, Ann.
I just wanted to bring up they used to target doctors on abortion by making them illegal and putting them in jail. And our Supreme Court, or the federal Supreme Court, has been good at protecting doctors from assaults like this. And for instance, with death with dignity and with marijuana medical use, the Supreme Court has said that the federal government can't target doctors and tell them how to advise their patients. And I think the same thing should happen here.
Well, and I think that's one of the legal issues that's going to be pushed, because I heard that, which was that it isn't actually legal to go after, to target a particular entity like Planned Parenthood,
exactly.
Which this
exactly.
does.
Like he does with everything, like Trump does with everything.
Right.
Pick out Amazon, pick out Planned Parenthood. Well, I guess that's just what your previous caller was advocating, too. Pick out somebody and just target them.
Yeah, and be able to really organize the 73% of us who really believe in having a reproductive health care available. And, you know, many young men support Planned Parenthood because they've gone there for their own reproductive health care needs and have gone with their female partners, you know, for their care. So... getting us all out at a particular target might not be a bad idea. Well, let's go on to the next person.
You.
And thank you, Ann. Thanks for calling in. I want to give that number again. It's 503-231-8187. We want to have you weigh in on the gag law in reproductive rights. The proposed, it has not been registered or was just registered last night. So this is LJ. LJ, you're on. Hi, LJ. Are you there? LJ?
Hello.
Hi, LJ. We've got
Hi,
you.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty darn good. Thank you very, very much. Another day in paradise.
Sometimes okay. Portland is like paradise.
Yes, it is.
I just say sometimes.
But Linda, do me a favor. Don't tell anybody because we don't want them to come here.
Too late. Way too late.
Okay, so here's the deal. This has the stench of Mike Pence all over it.
Thank you for bringing him up. He he and his prayer group
yes.
at the White House. Yeah, go ahead. Say more. Say.
All right. Okay. So, as you may or may not know, our neighbors to the north in Canada can walk in to a hospital, take care of any medical procedure necessary, no questions asked, and of course, being they do have single payer, it is free.
Right.
So, ba-dum-dum. All right, so anyway, this is a symptom of the disease of Trumpism. All right, I'm going to just draw a couple of
Is Trumpism a sub-disease under capitalism?
Oh, Jesus, as you know, Linda, wait a minute, Linda.
I think capitalism is really, he's an outgrowth, he's an extension, he's a particular manifestation of what capitalism right. brings us to, which is monopoly capitalism and imperialism.
All right, and as you know, democracy and capitalism are incompatible. You can have either or either, but you can't have both. So, that being said, I'm going to just throw a couple of figures at you. 89% of people who are Republicans are have a positive view of Trump's agenda. 59% of Republicans support Trump and not the party. All right. They're Trump supporters, but they're not necessarily Republicans.
Okay.
All right. Now, and they're thoroughly behind Trump's agenda of anti-Muslim, anti-immigration, anti-atheist, anti-gay,
anti-woman.
anti-racial justice, and are concerned about discrimination against white people.
Yes.
Yes.
So. If what you're saying is what you're saying is this is a racially motivated move as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think and Planned Parenthood is very clear that, you know, this is against people of color. It's people of color definitely go to Planned Parenthood. They have lower incomes in general in this nation, and there and are also meet discrimination in other places. And Planned Parenthood very, very happily says that they have a very diverse client base. And, and I think that's why we see how important it is. And I do think it, yeah, sure, it is absolutely intended to make it difficult for poorer people to get access to all reproductive health. You know, if you can't, if you close down a health center, that's also where they went to get their well woman checked. That's where they also went to get their STDs checked. That's where they went to have breast exams to find out if they have breast cancer. It's all the services. And men who take an active role with their their female partners in reproductive health know this as well. And so, yeah, this is an attack on, it's an attack on all women. It's an attack on all men, really. But of course, it is designed to hurt the poorer and the disenfranchised more. And, and I think that's one of the reasons they hate Planned Parenthood as well, is because Planned Parenthood has really tried to make sure that they have services available to people who are marginalized geographically, racially, or in any way.
Right. And Linda, just one more thing, and I will get off the phone. I want to refer you and your studio audience to the May 28th issue of The Nation magazine.
Okay.
All right. And it's an article in there by Eric, E-R-I-C, Altman, A-L-T-E-R-M-A-N, and it's called Hypocrites Against Trump. Okay.
Yes.
What the never-Trumpers are selling isn't all that different from the president's view. Now, one more thing. As we all know, Bernie is probably the most popular politician in the U.S. these days. And when was the last time you saw Bernie on corporate media?
So what are you wanting to say about that?
All right. Here's what I wanted to say about that. And this is from this article too, and it's kind of like a sidebar, right? And so this will be the very last thing I'm going to say. Supporters of Sanders-style social democracy with a gig in the mainstream media are about as rare as Republican folk singers.
Listen, LJ.
Anyway, thank you so much for the show, Linda. Keep on keeping on. Have a good day.
Thank you, LJ. I believe we had Vicky on the line. I don't know. It sounds like she hung up. Maybe she got frustrated. It took a little too long. Vicky, call back. We'll get you on. We want to hear what you have to say. Absolutely. I also know that someone called in and wanted to know, had any medical associations taken any positions on that? And they definitely have. The American Medical Association, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the American College of Physicians, and others have come out publicly opposing this rule. When a similar rule was put in place in the 1980s, it was met with a tremendous outcry from the medical community. I'm reading you this from a statement I have here. And over 200 members of Congress at that time have came out in opposition to the gag rule. So, you know, yeah, there are medical associations opposed to that. It is not mainstream in any way, this gag rule. It isn't mainstream medically. It isn't mainstream politically. It's to the right. It's intended to make it harder for women to take care of themselves. And I have a challenge out there to you who believe that we should stop abortions. I really mean it. It's an old and re-said many times, but are you going to take care of the children? I mean, people will end up having children they didn't want to have for a variety of reasons, maybe because they mostly feared they weren't going to be able to take care of them, that they weren't going to be able to support them. We are in a post-Clinton era when the safety nets beneath us are gone. Women who are pregnant are not able to stay on some kind of adult services for very long. They're forced to go to work in jobs that may not pay more than their child care. It is a straight road to poverty. We want to talk about the school to prison road for people of color. especially men of color, well, you know, having no birth control is a road to poverty, a certain kind of prison for women. We love our children. We will want to try to take care of them. But as many of you know, we're not all able to take care of our children. And that just means children who ended up in situations that weren't just often poverty, but maybe one parent has turned to some kind of substance abuse or another. They've had to live in housing situations with people maybe their parents would not want them to have to. Poverty is hard, rough way to go. I know my mother was a welfare administrator in small counties in this state, and I also was on Adult and Family Services for our aid to dependent children for, I believe, about 6 months with my first child, my first unexpected child, and no ability to stay at home and take care of her for the first 6 months. So that's what I did. And it's no fun. It's not easy. It's not enough to keep you going. And since the Clinton era, all of that has changed. If there's a social worker out there who knows specifically about what pregnant women who have no job or no way to support themselves can get from our state, what kind of care and services can they get, please go ahead and give us a call in about that, because I'm not up to date on the specifics of it. But I think it's really important, because we can't separate no reproductive care from the really huge consequences for both women and children. And, of course, that means men, their partners, their sons, their fathers, their spouses, et cetera. I want to give out that phone number again. It's 503-231-8187. I'd love to hear from you out there. There's lots more information I can give you, so I can keep talking to you, but I'd like to hear from you talking back to me. It's always more fun to get your points of view. My wonderful engineer, Ray Bodwell, our board operator, he pulled up something for me from the Center for American Progress, and it talked about state actions on women's health that you may have missed. And some of these are pretty bad. There's some that are good. I'll start with a couple of the bad ones. Hold on, and you'll hear the paper rattling here as I go through it. Texas goes to court again over abortion policy. Earlier this year, Texas passed Senate Bill 8, which seeks to restrict community abortion care providers that can only provide abortion up to 12 weeks. Legally, it can go longer than that. Also known as the dilation and evacuation procedure. So they're trying to cut that one out and make it, that was the traditional form of abortion, and it is a form of abortion that many people get. And it's actually been proven that it's safer to have an abortion than it is to have a birth. So it is not the kind of risk you might have affected. There are also three types of bans that disproportionately affect low-income and rural women who need more time to gather funds or plan and travel logistics. Anything that gets in the way of that, you know, if you have to go one visit to a doctor and then another visit to a judge to prove why you should be able to have your abortion, those things cost you, and the period of time that your baby is growing inside you goes. Many religions don't feel that a baby is a human, really, until after 16 weeks, what we call quickening. Up until then, it's not considered a baby. Other religions believe that it's a baby from conception. Obviously, the evangelists do that. And others don't believe that it's a human being until it takes its first breath. You know, that our beingness enters us at first breath. But whatever you believe, that's your personal and private belief, and your actions that are legal should be allowed to take place in concert with what you believe. So all of these methods to try to delay are really a problem. There's longer waiting periods for abortion in Missouri. On October 24th, there was a new requirement that went into effect that causes a bunch of delays for people in Missouri. It requires the same physician who would be performing an abortion procedure to meet the state's informed consent laws by providing the patient with materials that would make for a prolonged counseling process, something that they can't do at that situation. They're not the one providing the counseling. This could force women to wait weeks to get an abortion. I think one of the goals in having women wait to have an abortion is hoping that after 16 weeks, when some women first begin to feel a baby's movement, that then our women's feelings about is this a baby or not change, and they they want to try to get it to where it changes and you don't have a choice about it. According to the Grumacher Institute, one in five women across the country would need to travel at least 43 miles to reach the nearest clinic that provides abortions. So, you know, that's just one issue. Also, there's been a passage of what is called rape insurance legislation and increased reporting requirements in Texas. Let me see how this one's going to affect us. House Bill 214 bans abortion coverage in private health insurance plans, so forcing women to buy a separate supplemental insurance plan, also that would cost more. And as we all know, workers pay a huge amount for their health care through work anyway. After that law goes into effect on December 1, Texas will be the 11th state to restrict abortion coverage in private insurance plans. So they won't even allow your private insurer to insure you. The second bill was House Bill 13 in Texas, and this puts unnecessary reporting mandates on physicians, and it also risks patient privacy. Under the bill, doctors must report complications from abortions within 3 days of diagnosis or treatment. They must also provide the patient's birth year, county of residence, race, and marital status, often things that people don't have some of those in there or don't keep them in that way, as well as the date of the patient's last menstrual cycle. Clearly, they're intending to make it another way of slowing it down. Now, we can talk about states that have good things going on. Oregon is one of them. I want to give out the phone number again. I want to make sure that you know you can call in. We want you to call in. I know I'm not near as interesting as you are. So whoever you are out there, all of you wonderful listeners of Positively Revolting Radio for Ani and Lynn, please take a moment right now and pick up your phone and weigh in on this issue. You may think, well, it's obvious. Of course we're opposed to the gag issue. Well, yeah, and there's a million obvious bad things coming down that we're making it opposed for. But how opposed are we to this gag rule? Are we going to get up in arms? Are we going to take action? Is it beginning to be that we get worn down by change after change after change, things that we hear about in other states and nationally? I hope not. But please give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking. It's 503-231-8187. If you're someone who is a patient with Planned Parenthood and you want to tell us about the service you've received there, that's a great thing to do too. That's, once again, our number, 503-231-8187. So I want to go on and talk about some progressive and proactive changes that have taken place around the nation, because I think that is important to us as well. Let me see. In Hawaii, Maine, and Nevada have all taken steps to protect women's access to reproductive health services by requiring insurers to cover a 12-month supply of birth control at no out-of-pocket cost to the consumer. This is really huge. It really makes a big difference in whether or not people get their birth control. You know, you might be able to afford it 1 month, but not the next month. And that's really a tough and a harsh place to be, circumstance to be put in. I know that Planned Parenthood works with people in rural areas for them to be able to get longer term prescriptions, and also to be able to get more over-the-counter types of methods that they could use for, you know, the day-after pill, et cetera, so that they could use it if they're concerned that they might have gotten pregnant. So I think it's really important that this kind of service be there. Yeah, it goes on to say that this particularly helps women in rural areas who have significant travel barriers to getting to even a pharmacy to get their prescriptions. Hawaii's contraception coverage law is effective immediately, while Maine's and Nevada's are delayed, taking effect 90 days after the state legislature adjourns on January 1. And three states, California, Oregon, Illinois, Vermont, and the District of Columbia also are allow up to 12 months of continuous birth control coverage at no cost to the consumer. So that's very important. We do have a caller on the line. I have more good things that have been happening, but I want to hear from Karen. Hey, Karen, thanks for picking up your phone and calling us this morning.
Good morning, Linda. Thank you. I just wanted to point out that perhaps one of the reasons that a lot of people aren't calling, and you mentioned having fatigue from all the struggles that we're having to mount right now, but one of them is that shadowing this whole issue all the time is you're killing the baby. And I was raised Catholic, right? And it has, I'm 72. It's taken me to be, very old before I'll very strongly advocate for women's rights to control their body. I always would advocate legally for that choice, but it's taken a long time for me to feel it in my bones that the desire to control women, the male entitlement, especially garbed in religious raiment, is very strong.
Yes.
And it's not as if capitalism doesn't promote conflict in amongst the people and try to weaken the people all the time. It does. But it sort of has a life of its own, these issues as well, the sex, the misogyny, the racism. Each human being carries around a whole worldview about what is something that they're willing to defend and protect, and that's always being influenced by the forces that control the culture. So I'm calling, even though I'm very old and this doesn't matter to me anymore on a personal level, I'm calling because I am so bloody sick of the way that women are treated.
Yes.
The raping and the beatings and the constant small blows of misogyny. This is just one more. And as you say, it has economic implications for the woman who has to then try to raise the child, emotional implications, social implications. It's a very big deal, the control over our reproduction. So that's what I wanted to say, is that I think there are a lot of layers to this issue, and I think we have to stand up and make our voices heard. And I thank you for bringing it up and being such a well-informed advocate for women. Thank you, Linda.
Oh, well, thank you, Karen, and really thank you for your impassioned statement. I really agree with you, and it's very hard living in a society that is cutting us down and in different ways all the time, but it's really hard when it's you. You know, when it's you are the one who can't get that birth control, you are the one that has to face a choice that you didn't want to have to make. You thought you're one of those. I have a friend who used to say, I wasn't one of those who didn't take her birth control. I always took my birth control before she got pregnant, because birth control is not 100% accountable. And so we, even among ourselves, we tended to contend to put down our fellow women when they come into a crisis pregnancy. And so I really appreciate your saying how important it is that we support women and we don't allow ourselves to be controlled and we don't allow other women to be controlled. And as we've said before, you know, because Planned Parenthood serves so many low-income people and such a diverse population, the cutting back of these clinics, the getting rid of these facilities is going to have a disproportionate effect, as everything does in this society, on people of color and people who are poor. So it always goes down that path. Do we have any more callers on the line, Ray? We don't. So another one of you can call in and give an impassioned statement like Karen just did. The number is 503-231-8187. This thing about guaranteed contraceptive care, think of how... how much that relieves you, the anxiety that you can walk around with as a sexually active adult woman or actually even a teenager without being able to have adequate birth control is really very serious. And it's also, we want our full reproductive health care. We want the ability to end a pregnancy if we can't go forward with it. So I'd really like to hear a little bit more from you. I do want to say that there has been some other good things that are happening around in terms of funding. One of them is Medicaid funding for abortion in Illinois. On September 28th, Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner signed legislation that allows state health insurance and Medicaid coverage for abortions. This marks a reversal of his stance on the proposal last spring. I wonder if those women's marches have affected him or if he just had a sort of conscience change. I'm really glad that he did change the law. Let me find the other one. There's one more here where it talks about Oregon, and I don't have that right in front of me. Here I do. No, I don't. We passed an initiative here that also guarantees the right for women to be able to get their health care. And when I find that piece of paper, I'll be able to read it to you. It's a Oregon Women's Health Initiative, and I'm not finding where I have it here. Sorry about that. So I wanted to say a little bit more about this issue about men controlling women. I know that as a feminist and watching things change over the years, that I can see very realistically how feminism and how supporting women's rights to reproductive care and family planning have changed over the years. And I want to say that I see so many young men and so many young fathers walking around with baby bundles on their chests. And just so adorable, walking, you know, carrying their baby, going to the shopping store with one child at hand, another baby on their chest. And I know many women whose boyfriends automatically go with them if they have an important gynecological appointment. They are their support there for women. These were not roles that men got to have in the past. We can think of it as women didn't get to have their support and it wasn't for women, but it also wasn't for men. And it's so much better now for men to be the full human beings that they are and get to care for their children, care about planning their family, care about raising their families. I'm touched many times to meet the young fathers of today and know that it's a very different picture than when I was a young woman. And those were good men. It's just good men had been caught in a construct of male-female that didn't allow the whole human flowering of us as women and as men. And as everything in between, because many of us are in between in some important ways. But we have made such great changes in just that little issue of taking care of family. We do have another caller on the line, so I'll go to her right now. That's Annalise. Thank you for calling in, Annalise.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you go to any good herbalist, and there used to be quite a few in Portland, one, for instance, was on the corner of Burnside, and I don't know if it was 4th or there in the beginning, you can get herbal remedies if you first think that you are pregnant, say, 2 weeks in on your ovulation time, and you have, and you think you're pregnant, you can use herbs to start your menstrual period, but you have to do it really right in the beginning, before you even go to the doctor to confirm. And
so it's sort of like the morning after pill, but you're saying herbally.
Oh, yeah, it's an herb, and I don't know if I can mention it, so I won't.
Probably don't. We don't want to give it out like we're giving medical advice, but we can suggest that.
And then you brew a tea from the leaves of that herb, and within a week, most likely, you will start your period.
Which would be the point of it. Thank you for bringing that up and bringing it in. You know, I think of all sorts of, I've heard that... all sorts of methods that women have to prevent pregnancy. And I've heard some interesting ones. One I've heard is like they do with camels, apparently, put a small stone up in the uterus to basically irritate the edge and keep it from having babies. It's like a very low-tech IUD. I am not recommending any of us do that. But what I am saying is that women have found methods herbally and otherwise. Also, some of those methods have been really not effective and have really hurt people. Women have tried to use things to puncture the amniotic sac.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But this herb will definitely work because I have used it.
And
the
brew
tea from the leaves only.
Yeah.
There's also an oil, but you can never use the oil.
Okay.
But...
Well, thank you very much, Annalise. I really appreciate it because, you know, what are we going to do as we go forward? Well, women are going to have to step up for each other, and men will step up with us and for us. But
yeah, and you can avoid
all
the other. Nothing would have stopped me from using this herb. No rules or laws.
Yes.
Because my body told me that I couldn't have a baby, so it was just a natural thing and not anything out of not caring about children or babies or whatever. So anyway,
takes it all the way out of that conversation.
It's about time that the right wing and whoever else and churches and give up on this ban on women's choice. So thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Annalise. Thank you very much for calling in this morning. And do we have another caller? Barry, I'm welcoming you on, Barry. I want to request that you be talking about the gag rule or women's reproductive rights.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Linda. As a matter of fact, I was listening to Democracy Now! Earlier about the women complaining about what had happened and they're not being able to say anything about it. In the way that you're talking about this, our news media has been, our United States news media has been censored, whereby no one can mention anything or look into the falling of the World Trade Center to try and find out what happened. And this is striking to me, that this is happening in the United States, and even KABU wouldn't bring someone on that wanted to talk about the fall of the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
And KABU censored that person, and I tried to call someone about that.
Now, Barry, we're not going to get off to talking about the World Trade Center and or talking about it on talk radio. What we're going to talk about is the Planned Parenthood.
Yes, but this has everything to do with what you're talking about. It is a gag rule to me. I appreciate your time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Barry. And if there's anyone else who would like to call, I'd really love to hear from you. It's 503-231-8187. And please give us a call and talk about this gag law. I want to bring up another thing about why this isn't so important. We can say, well, you know, we got this law didn't get through. We'll fight them through the courts, you know, one way or another, and we'll fight them in the public arena, which I think is really important. And I think it is important to fight through the courts. But we cannot forget that they have changed who is in the courts. And they're working very hard to fill all the positions they can in courts with right-wing people. They don't have to come out with the same ruling. You can see it from the current Supreme Court. They, I believe, say things are constitutional that absolutely are not. And we can see that that the Supreme Court is weighted in a way now that will not come down on the side of women. I'm very concerned about it. I don't want to have a review of Roe v. Wade in front of these Supreme Courts. So the courts can't always be our saviors. We're going to have to save ourselves in other ways. I do believe we have another caller on the line. It's Harry.
Hi. Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I missed half your program, but did you ever mention earlier about the election that's going on in Ireland about abortion?
I didn't. Please bring it up.
Well, okay. I think if I'm correct, it's today. The election is today. And
it will determine whether or not women are allowed to have abortions?
In the nation of Ireland.
Is this Northern Ireland?
No, this is Ireland itself.
The Republic of Ireland.
Republican of Ireland.
Okay.
So it's no one really knows. It's 50-50 how it's going to turn out. But it has to change their constitution, because in the constitution they mention about the sanctity of life of the mother and the child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting how this is going to turn out.
Yeah, it could be very exciting, very important.
Yeah, so the election is today, if I'm correct.
Well,
next is it's one of the reasons why I think Donald Trump won the election was the abortion issue. A lot of people have been changing their minds about abortion if it's life, especially when they came out with a few years ago that you can have an abortion after 9 months of pregnancy, and they described what would happen, the procedure itself, and people were very violent about that when they heard this was going on. In fact, there was a Several months ago, there was a trial of an abortion doctor, I think it was in Pennsylvania, and they were charging him with murder. And no one wanted to bring up this subject, but and why he was charged with murder, because when he was doing an abortion and he pulled out the baby, it started to cry, so he broke its neck for the abortion. So he was charged with that, and it was like, you know, and in the black community,
what we should say, Harry, is I think pretty much 99.9% of abortions that take place late term like that are for the medical health of the mother and the baby, usually, because it means they're making a decision that one or the other will not live, or that that the child will die immediately after birth, and sometimes those choices are made. But late term abortions like those, the descriptions of them are, they're horrible. But those late stage abortions are very, very rare. And I think you're right that when they bring that up, that's something to scare people with. Thank you, Harry. I'm gonna let you go unless you got another point, because we've got one more caller on.
Okay, no, we'll go to the next caller. Goodbye and have a nice day.
Thank you for calling, Harry. And that's Ireland he was talking about. We should all pay attention to Ireland today and find out what happens with the vote on abortion there. I believe we have Pat on the line.
Yes, good morning. Thank
good morning,
you so much.
Pat.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you, Linda. And also, I know we're running out of time here, but just pointing out some of the, the advocacy within the medical profession and, the states that are, on top of this, that's much appreciated. What I wanted to share in particular is that, and you mentioned this before, and two, I had, this thing about it's pro-birth, not pro-life. If it was pro-life, then we would have, many, many supportive services.
Reasonable funding for people who are pregnant.
Exactly. We would have all that. And the misogyny, and all of this is pretty breathtaking. I'm old enough, I'm 73, to remember what illegal abortions looked like back in the day.
Yes.
And I don't need to detail. I'm sure you're listening.
Well, there used to be a symbol of a metal hanger. And the reason
Absolutely.
There was that symbol of the metal hanger was because
Absolutely.
Women had twisted
Absolutely.
That and used it.
Absolutely. And so all of that. And, back in the day, I still remember, an aunt of mine who had an abortion, and she went out of the country. So women who, have the funds, if it's illegal, women who have the funds, will take care of the things that they know in their,
yes.
in their hearts that they need to take care of. So it's a financial thing. It's a class thing. It's a race thing. It's all of the things that we're really talking about today. And I did have an abortion 45 years ago through Planned Parenthood. And, we don't necessarily talk about this. There were aftermaths in my own story, about that. Many years later, there were reverberations of, of that decision, for which today I've had great healing and mending. And I continue to deeply support a woman's, choice and Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
I'm beyond an age of needing contraception and so forth, but I mean for the children, for the next
yes.
generations.
Well, Pat,
we really support their personal right to make their own decisions about things.
Well,
so with that,
you.
I thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Pat. And I did want to make sure that it got in here, because I don't think Harry was trying to say that people have turned towards banning abortion, because actually the polls, the most recent polls, show somewhere between 70 and 73% of Americans support a woman's right to choose. And that's it for today. Thank you, Ray, our engineer. Thank you, all of those who called in. And up next will be One Land, Many Voices.
There comes a time when every second, every day.